It'll be on paper today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Obama will sign that $787 billion stimulus bill today. He says the combination of spending and tax cuts should at least help reverse the economic fallout. Mr. Obama is signing that measure in Denver at the Museum of Nature and Science. He wants to spotlight its green technology, one of several areas where the bill aims to create jobs. While politicians and economists debate the viability of that package, automakers have to prove their viability in writing today. That's after they received a heap of cash in taxpayer-funded loans. From North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
Both GM and Chrysler are living on borrowed billions in government aid. Both are asking for even more money. To get it, though, they have to show the Treasury Department that they have a plan to cut costs and pay the government back. To do that, GM needs more concessions from its creditors and union workers. Talks with the United Auto Workers broke down over retiree health benefits. Negotiations reportedly went into the night, but it doesn't look like a deal will come today. Either way, University of San Francisco professor John Fisher doubts GM or Chrysler can become profitable.
I think the only way to truly restructure these companies is to protect them in bankruptcy and fundamentally realign cost structures.
As part of the original agreement, the government is expected to release an additional $4 billion in aid today for GM and $3 billion for Chrysler. Final restructuring plans must be in place by the end of March. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Stocks took big hits last week, and there's not much hope for today either. The Dow is at its lowest level since November, 7850. Walmart reported this morning a quarterly profit that beat Wall Street expectations. That could spark a little happiness there. Overseas, Japan's Nikkei fell by 1.3%. Hong Kong was off by more than 3.5%. European shares are down by an average of 2.5%. The state of California could have to fire 10 to 20,000 workers today because of a $42 billion budget hole. Lawmakers are at odds over a huge tax hike proposal. It's all about fun today in New York. This year's American International Toy Fair is underway. Thousands of items are on display at the largest toy trade show in the country. Fewer of them, though, are from mom-and-pop shops. Here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
This year's Toy Fair has 1,100 exhibitors. That's 100 fewer than last year. Carter Keithley is president of the Toy Industry Association, the fair organizer.
We have lost a few exhibitors, we believe, in part because of the economic hardships, and in part because they are scrambling to learn what will be required of them under the new laws.
Congress tightened safety tests on children's toys in August after several dangerous toys hit store shelves. Keithley says the mom-and-pop toy makers hit hardest by these changes are at the heart of the industry.
The toy industry is really a creativity business, and so it's important to have creative juices coming from hundreds of toy creators out there bringing new ideas to market.
Keithley says this year most U.S. toys again will come from China, despite ongoing safety concerns. In strained economic times, organizers expect this year's fair to see a 30% jump in toys priced under $25. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Maybe you've heard of the so-called lipstick indicator. When the economy's down, lipstick sales go up. Well, now apparently there is a deodorant indicator. Insert pun here. Okay, the economy stinks and people want to freshen up. Market researcher Information Resources reports that deodorant revenues surpassed $1 billion last year. The New York Times reports that the reason for the sales jump may have to do with stronger products being pushed by deodorant companies. So if your 401k or pension plan is being attacked, at least you'll smell fresh and clean.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. And by Constant Contact, helping more than 250,000 small businesses and nonprofits succeed using email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, a smart way to reach your customers.
There was a time when people ate out a lot, but with economic problems of the day, home cooking seems to be the in thing. There's a problem with that, though. A lot of folks don't know how to cook. That's good news for cooking schools. From Portland, Oregon, here's Sadie Babbitts.
Valerie Edwards makes a living telling people what to eat. She's a dietitian and she's a foodie. But since the recession hit...
Well, I've definitely been eating out less, and I've gotten more interested in cooking again.
She's dug into her cookbooks and found she wants to learn more.
I wanted some more skills and creativity for my dishes. I tend to make things too simple and I'm not creative enough about blending flavors together.
So Edwards turned to hip cooks. This is a new funky cooking school in Portland. Monica Retti owns Hip Cooks. She thought when the economy turned south, she'd have to cut back on what she offers. Instead, the opposite has happened.
I think as people are realizing that going out to eat is not just expensive, but sometimes not as delicious or not as healthy as cooking at home, they are coming to me to learn how in droves.
And who better to teach cooking skills in a down economy than Retti? She's an economist who used to work for the Rand Corporation. Among the new classes she's adding, gourmet on a shoestring and brown bagging it.
We cook all the lunches for a week, and so that's really fun to learn what could you cook on a Sunday that's still good to eat on Friday.
Hip Cooks isn't the only cooking school seeing a jump in attendance. Most around Portland are, including In Good Taste.
Let's talk about some of these meats. Don't fawn on them too much. Because we're all going to eat them.
On this night, guest chef Ben Dyer talks about less expensive meat cuts like flank steak.
Because in these economic times, people are looking to kind of make what they eat a little less expensive so they can feed their family a little more easily.
Cooking classes like this one will likely continue to sizzle as more jobs are slated for the chopping block. In Portland, Oregon, I'm Sadie Babbitts for Marketplace.
And we're dishing out all kinds of information at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great day.
American Public Media.